So, you have a scary movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's called Halloween, and it takes place on the spookiest day of the year.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day?
No.
Bummer, leprechauns are spooky as hell.
Well, the movie Halloween isn't gonna take place on St. Patrick's Day. It's gonna take place on Halloween.
I guess that makes a lot more sense. This is why you're the writer and I'm not.
I guess so.
So, what happens in the movie?
Not much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I got a phone call from your secretary telling me that there's basically no budget.
I had my secretary call you on the phone because it's the 1970s, and it's not like there's some kind of widely used electronic mail system or anything.
I don't know why you'd specify that, but okay.
Look at my hair, it's clearly the 1970s right now.
Please stop specifying what decade it is.
You ever realize how grainy everything is in the 1970s?
Oh, please stop.
Well, okay then. So was it difficult to write a feature film knowing that there's no money to make it?
Actually, it was super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just had very few things happen and put in a lot of inexpensive filler to make it 90 minutes long.
What kind of filler are we talking?
Well, for example, at the end of most scenes, I figure we could just have the camera linger for an unnatural amount of time.
Some unnecessary long takes, that's a great way to pad the runtime without spending any extra money.
Yeah, and sometimes we'll just point the camera at a television and film a different movie for a while.
Oh, padding your movie's runtime with another movie's runtime is groovy.
Right, so essentially we're gonna have enough content for a short film, but stretch it out to feature length.
I love it. So what actually does happen in the movie?
Well, the movie's about a killer named Michael Myers who killed his sister when he was 6 years old.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then he goes outside with a knife and his parents are like, "What'd you do now, Mikey?" and stare at him motionless for 20 seconds.
Why would they just stand motionless like that?
Well, because the camera's gonna slowly and dramatically move out and I couldn't think of anything for them to say while that happens.
Maybe call the cops or try to figure out why their son is holding a bloody knife.
Listen, I could rewrite it, but I'm gonna have to charge you.
Oh, never mind. Standing motionless sounds like the perfect reaction to something like that.
Fantastic. So anyway, Michael Myers goes into a mental facility for 15 years and never says a word.
Okay.
And one night his psychiatrist, Dr. Loomis, is coming to see him and he escapes in a car.
How does he know how to drive if he's been in an institution since the age of 6?
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, right? Plus he's gonna spend the first hour of the movie driving around town. He's very good at driving.
So how does he know how to drive?
Right? It makes no sense. Dr. Loomis is even gonna talk to one of the employees at the sanitarium and be like, "Who taught this guy how to drive?
And what's the explanation?"
We're never gonna explain it or bring it up again, but because a character pointed out that it makes no sense, it's okay.
Oh, is that how that works? That's neat.
So then Loomis is gonna team up with the sheriff to stop Michael, cause Loomis knows exactly what Michael is gonna do.
How is Loomis so confident if Michael hasn't said a word since he was 6?
I don't know.
Fair enough. So I imagine that Loomis and the sheriff go warn everybody that there's a crazy killer on the loose?
No, they don't.
Why not?
So the movie can happen.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the sheriff doesn't warn anybody, not even his own daughter.
But he's gonna keep an eye on her just in case.
Not at all, and she's gonna get killed too.
Wow, what a terrible sheriff and father.
Yeah, so basically the first hour of the movie is Michael playing peekaboo with the main character Lori and freaking her out.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, but it's gonna be like a spooky version of peekaboo because he has a scary mask on.
What did you have in mind for the mask?
Well, since he's a killer, it has to be really scary.
Oh, so like a William Shatner mask?
What?
Yeah, that'd be perfect because everybody already has those William Shatner nightmares, right?
Oh, I think that might just be you, sir.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, since it's Halloween, everything's gonna be extra tense because there's a bunch of trick-or-treaters around.
No money for that.
We're gonna have a movie take place on Halloween night and show little to no trick-or-treaters.
Unless you want to pay them some of your 1970s money.
You can just say money.
Well,
anyway, so after an hour, Michael is gonna start killing Lori's friends.
Oh no.
Yeah, he's gonna strangle one and he's gonna pin another up against the wall with the world's strongest kitchen knife.
Wow.
And then one of the kids that Lori's babysitting is gonna see Michael outside. And he's gonna be like, "Lori, there's a scary boogeyman outside." And she's gonna be like, "You're crazy."
But she's been seeing a scary boogeyman dude herself all day. Why wouldn't she believe him?
I guess she forgot.
Very forgetful.
And then Michael's gonna finally come for Lori and play some more spooky peekaboo.
Oh, he loves that game.
Yeah, and then he's gonna get stabbed with a sewing needle, and stabbed with a coat hanger in the eyeball, and stabbed with his own knife, and shot a bunch of times by Loomis, and then fall out of a window.
Wow, so he dies?
No, he runs away.
What?
Yeah, he disappears. He's gone.
How does he survive all that stuff?
I don't know, because he's pure evil, I guess.
So what happens then?
By my calculations, then we're out of money.
Oh, so it's just gonna end?
Yeah, that's it.
What if people want to know what happens next?
Well, I figure if the movie makes enough money, we can make an obscene number of sequels and spin-offs and reboots spanning over 4 decades.
Seriously?
No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine, though?
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.